Should I say 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight? 1 Peter chapter 1. If you're not too much into the news, you don't catch that maybe. Well, as I came to church tonight, I did not have any real confirmation that I had the mind of God for this service and this message. And so when that kind of thing happens, for me anyway, I begin to grasp for straws. And the very first song we sang tonight would give me a little bit of consolation or confirmation. If you can say that. But with me the one being up here, you'll take anything you can get. Now there is a little bit of consolation in it is that it's still God's word. So as long as I stay in God's word, we'll be okay. And I intend to do that tonight. Don't want to get off into the brush. Don't want to get off into personal things. But looking at God's word tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me just read four verses here. Why don't you stand with me as we read tonight. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 6. And the reason why I'm beginning there is because it's the beginning of another thought or another sentence. So just hold on. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I want us to go back and look at verse 7, basically tonight. The trial of your faith. Lord, we need your touch. As we have opened up your word, I pray, Lord, that you would make it really opened up to us. That you would speak to us. That you would anoint the lips of clay that would present it this evening. That you would also anoint our ears that we would be receptive of it tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That the trial of your faith. Here's one of those times that I want to do a little bit of comparative. The Amplified said the genuineness or genuineness, however you want to pronounce that. So it would say, it would indicate that there's something here that is taking place that's supposed to determine if your faith is real. The New American Standard said the proof of your faith. Another translation says something to the effect, it's in a roundabout way, but it speaks about the proving. The proving it out. Now we think of as trial as though it's either gone to trial or in a court setting and somebody's going to judge in the trial, or we think about a trial perhaps as a real burdensome test or problem, something that we have to bear up under, something that is difficult to deal with. Well, it could really all be all inclusive here. It could have all of those things brought into it. Because the outcome is what is focused on. We want to find out what the outcome is. Who's going to be the judge? Well, it would appear that Peter is telling us that it has something, or the judge has something to do with Christ, because that we might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible has a few things to say about this. And what we find is that trials are to be expected. We can expect joy. Didn't our passage here speaks about joy unspeakable and full of glory? Occasionally we sing about that. We can expect joy in this way. We can expect peace in this way. Walking with Him, we can expect peace. We can expect grace. We can expect love. We can expect the smile of God. But we cannot expect the freedom from opposition. We can't expect to be free of tribulation. Though we don't like to think of it anywhere beyond that, we really can't even expect to be free of persecution. Though there's not a single one of us here tonight that's standing in line for anything of that sort, especially when it comes to being persecuted. I'm confident of that because I think it's safe to say that we're all in the same boat, that none of us like to feel the contempt of another individual. We don't want persecution. Nothing in the Bible leads us to believe that we should expect to be free of these things. Jump back a few pages in your Bible, if you still have it open, to the book of James. Chapter 1, he tells us right at the outset, after he gives his greeting and who he is, he jumps right in verse 2 and he says these words, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, testings, trials, tribulation," whatever you want to squeeze into there. It's speaking about the value of trial. Count it all joy. Now, again, this is one of those things that's easier to say from right here than what it is to deal with from there. He goes on saying, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. So now he brings in our faith and he connects it to these trials that we are to be joyous in the midst of. He connects our faith. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. So we see right here in James that there is a cause and effect for trial. There is something about our faith that's brought into it. And in the midst of our faith, we find that there's also this thing of building patience, that it's necessary. God wants us to build our patience. Have you reached that point where you're not asking God to help you with patience? Seems to me like any time I pray for patience, He's not just pouring something out and giving it to me. He's not just imputing it to me. I have to earn it or build it. That's the way it seems to me. Maybe it's not the way it is for you. Let's bring another aspect into this in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." So here we're connecting this passage with the passage in James. He's speaking about our faith. And he said, "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance," here's this other word, patience. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So apparently, if we put these things together, if we bring the thoughts and blend them together, we would somewhere, somehow, begin to understand that God expects us to yield ourselves to the possibilities of trial or of proving. The heat, the temperature being increased so as the silver can be purified, so that the gold can be purified. We sang about that tonight. Fiery trials, purifying your gold. So we have to come to the conclusion somewhere along the line that the trial of our faith has some uses. It's necessary. It's necessary to our own purification, to our own purifying, that refining fire. That refining fire finds out. Think about it. The refiner's fire finds out. It begins to separate. It finds us out. It proves our faith. It proves the content of our faith. It proves the value of our faith. It proves to us. It proves to others the value of our faith. It's probably more so in the olden days than what it is now. But the old-time sailors, you know, the old sailboats, the masts and the sails and all of that, when a storm would show up, it would prove the content or the metal of the sailor, the strength or the courage. The assurance. It would prove a calm dependence. And so we look at it from our spiritual aspect, and we can understand as well that when the storm shows up, it can prove our courage. It can prove or test our assurance, and it can prove whether or not we have a calm dependence. A dependence not on ourselves, but on God. It can be a test when our faith is attacked. When the storm comes after our faith. Somebody said this, let me read it to you. The vital point is perhaps most assailed by the evil one, yet surely it is the point of unity between our souls and God, the link uniting our weakness to His might. How necessary the trial for true trust is often born of the keenest suffering. It's a test to prove, or its use can be to prove our love. To prove and to strengthen our love. Indifference, opposition, hardship. It can all be used to prove our love, to test the content or the depth of our love. Testing of our love for God. Testing of our love for people. Have you ever Have you ever been tested? Your love for somebody else ever been tested? I'm sure it has. You know, think about Abraham's test. What an incredible test of trust. Of how much he was willing to trust God. How about the testing of Peter in the New Testament? How about that testing? You say, well, when was he tested? Well, if we look at it as a test, when Jesus was challenging him on the content or the depth of his love for him. Peter, do you love me? Yep. Yeah, Lord, I do. Peter, do you love me? Well, yeah, I love you. Peter, do you really love me? And it finally sunk into him. But you see, that's not the whole of the story. We have to come back several days. We have to come back earlier into life and say, and to realize or to bring into the picture that Jesus was challenging Peter on his love way back when Peter was saying, everybody else can desert you, Lord, but I'm going to stick with you. I'm willing to die with you. But then Jesus had to challenge that love by saying, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. And so when we come to this other passage where Jesus is challenging him or questioning him, testing him about the depth of his love, how would we fare in that test? You see, it's a test of the depths of our love when we have to face trial or face tribulation of some sort or suffering. It's easy for us to be firm when we stand on a sunshiny day. It's easy for us to smile when everything's going our way, but what about when things aren't going that way, when the clouds come in? It's easy when we're in a good place. Everything's going our way. When we're swarmed with the masses, when the crowds of people are gathered. When we have man's approval, the pat on the back. Again, I can go to an old story that I've read a long time ago and keep close by. Perhaps I could have brought it tonight. Timberline Christians. Somebody was making violins and he was having a hard time finding the best wood. And somebody brought him, or he finally came across some wood that was at Timberline. Gnarly, twisted, tested, strong. And he took it and made a violin, and the sound was what he was looking for from that Timberline wood. How about Timberline Christians? Not to give in to the test or not to break down under the test, but to allow the test to strengthen us. Even to allow it to be a safeguard for ourselves. Because it really could be that we are in more danger from flattery and popularity than what we are from trial and suffering. Think about it. We could be in more danger from flattery and popularity than what we are from trial and suffering. Because the cross itself draws the soul to the Lamb of God who hung upon that cross. The trial of our faith being much more precious than gold. Are you facing something? Are you dealing with something? Are you having a bit of suffering going on? Is there an issue that is troubling you? Maybe keeping you awake at night? different people have different things. Some troubles, some people when they deal with troubles, they can't eat. Some people when they deal with troubles, they go on binge eating. You know, whatever the case may be, the trial of our faith. Count it all joy when we fall, when we find ourselves in these places, knowing that the trial of our faith worketh patience, and that as we give diligence, we are to add to our faith. And here we find this thing of patience, and it tells us that patience is added or strengthened as we go through these problems. The trial of your faith, the testing, the proving. May God help us to come out shining as gold, separating the dross, and the refining fire purify us to make us what He wants us to be. Let's stand together tonight.